think the topic that we're going to discuss today is a very important topic. Probably reflected in the fact that so many people are here to hear about it. It's a topic that really should bother every one of us. Is there life after death? What happens to me after I die? What does Judaism say about it? Most people sitting here, I assume, hopefully correctly, know that life after death in Judaism is axiomatic. It's a very basic principle. It's one of the 13 principles that the Rambam says that any believing Jew must believe in. And for good measure, we talk about Tchiyat HaMesim, we talk about the revival of the dead, the resurrection, 15 times a day at the very least. Why do I say 15 times a day at the very least? Because we say Shmona Esrei at least 3 times a day, and in the second bracha of Shmona Esrei, we refer to Tchiyat HaMesim at least 5 times. That is what the Rishonim say, but if you count it, you will see it's really 6. Atogi bar le'olam Hashem, mechaye meisim ata rab lo'oshia, mechalke el chayim b'chesed, mechaye meisim b'rachamim rabim. So mechnofu, you know the routine. Mechayim emunaso lishenei afar, michamocha b'al gevuros umidom elach, melech meimisum chaye, umatzmiach yeshua, v'neman atala chayos meisim b'rachata Hashem mechaye meisim. But there is the reference also to Mekayim Emunasol Lishenei Afar, that Hashem keeps His faith to those who sleep in the dust, in the dirt. So in every Shmona Esrei, we refer to Tchiyas HaMesim at least 5 times. And we're saying Shmona Esrei, 3 times a day, 4 times a day on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's in every single Shmona Esrei. It's in the second bracha. It's a very important concept. We all know that, but that is about where it ends in terms of what we know. When I was young, I was reading a book by Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, who is a famous addiction specialist who taught in the University of Pittsburgh and founded the Gateway Rehabilitation Center for Dealing with Addictions in Pittsburgh. Parenthetically, he is Rabbi Danny Meyer's stepfather-in-law. He's written over 50 books on addiction. And when I was younger, maybe in high school, I read one of his early books called Generation to Generation. And in that book, he has a story. He grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His father was a rabbi there. And in that book, he tells a story that there was one of the congregants in his father's shul who repeatedly would ask his father the following question. When one comes back after Tchiyas HaMesim, is he reunited with his first wife or with his second wife? It was a constant question. You know, people would line up to ask the rabbi questions after Shacharis. So at least once a month, he would be asking that question. A while later, when Dr. Ktorsky grew up, he asked his father, Dad, why was it that he kept asking that question? His father said, you have to understand. That man came over from Europe. Maybe it was a prearranged marriage. He was married to a woman who, in modern terminology, we would call abusive. She embarrassed him publicly. She was very tough with him. She ordered him around. She became ill, and she passed away in middle age, at which point he got remarried, and the woman that he married in his second marriage was very sweet, was very kind to him, was very nice to him. So the elder Rabbi Twersky said to his son, this guy is deathly afraid that after Tchiyas HaMesim, he's going to get his first wife back, and not his second wife back. That's why he keeps asking the question. So, again, this is a 4-part mini-series. Hopefully one of the questions will answer by the end of these 4 parts, and you can hold me to it if I didn't answer it, is this very question. Does he get his first wife back, or does he get his second wife back? In general, we have to ask, after Tchiyas HaMeisim, are there family relationships? Are there not family relationships? Am I going to know who my dad is after I die? Am I not going to know that? Siblings? These are all questions that we don't know. The story I just told you really has two morals to the story. Number one, how deeply rooted the belief in Tchiyas HaMeisim is, and it should be, in even simple Jews who were unlearned. That man wasn't a Talmud Chacham, he was a simple Jew, came over from Europe. That's number one. The second point we learn from that story is how confusing Tchiyas HaMeisim is and what kind of lack of clarity there is in terms of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now, if this shir was a Kiruv shir, I would just give you one simple answer that makes sense and razzle-dazzle. That's not what this is about. I'm going to give it to you, like all the time, I'm going to give it to you straight up, exactly what we believe, what we don't believe, what the different opinions are on the Rishonim. Now, when it comes to disagreements in Hashkafa, in philosophy, the Rambam says, and he says it in reference to this question of Tchiyas HaMeisim in general, the Rambam says that you cannot say one opinion is correct and one opinion is incorrect. There could be two different opinions, and that decision has not been reached as to who we follow. When it comes to practical halacha, there is one decision which is correct and one decision which is incorrect. Although sometimes when there are new developments, we haven't come to one decision. But here we're talking about a matter of philosophy, of hashkafa, of outlook. It's not practical. There's no issue of Tchiyas HaMeisim being a practical, having a practical halachic application in the Olam Ha'asiya, in the world of action. Okay, so let us discuss the basics. We'll go through the sources, and over the course of these four Sunday afternoons, Be'ezras Hashem, we will gain a measure, hopefully a large measure of clarity in regard to Tchiyas HaMeisim, what happens after a person dies. And let's begin with the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Shmini, says as follows. Now, if you're learning Hilchos Tshuva now, Rabbi Benevitz is learning Hilchos Tshuva. Is that anybody Rabbi Benevitz this year? Where's he up to? Beginning? The good news is that Hilchos Tshuva gets better as it goes along. It starts slow, and with each passing chapter, it gets more interesting, more exciting. So we're going to pick it up in the eighth perek. The Rambam, in chapter 8 of Hilchos Tshuva, talks about the goodness that is hidden away for the righteous. And this is Chaye HaOlam Haba, eternal life. V'hi HaChayim She'ein Maves Imahen V'atova She'ein Imah Ra'ah. This is life which has no death with it, and it is good without any accompanying evil. And this, the Torah, he stresses, repeats a couple of times. And then he goes on in Halacha Beis. Ha'olam haba, ein bo guf ugevia el nefashos hatzadikim bilvad, bilo guf, kemalachei hasharis. Says, olam haba, what's it about? It's only for neshamos, without bodies, only for souls. Let's translate neshama now as soul, although we know that according to Kabbalah, there are five different levels of the soul. There's nefesh, in ascending order, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida. Five different levels. I know what you're thinking already. Wow, maybe that's why there are five different mentions of Tchiyas HaMeisim in the second bracha of Shmona Esrei. Yes, that is what some Kabbalists say. But in any case, the Rambam says Olam Haba has no body, just souls. Tzadikim are there, souls without bodies, just like Malachim. The Rambam says, naturally, Hoil ve'ein bo givios, since there are no bodies there, ein bo lo achila, ve'lo shesia, ve'lo davar mikol hadvarim shegufos b'nei adam tzichim lahem ba'olam hazeh. Therefore, there is no eating, there is no drinking, which are really results of the body in this world. The Rambam goes on to say that there is no sleeping, there is no standing, there is no sitting, there is no procreating. None of that goes on in Olam Haba because it is a world of souls. It is not a world of bodies. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam's conception of Olam Haba is clearly different than some other religions which have some other ideas of Olam Haba. But the Ravid does not let the Rambam go. The Ravid, Rav Avraham ben David, writes glosses on the Rambam, hasagos on the Rambam. He argues on the Rambam. Most people are under the misimpression that the Rambam was older, and a generation or two later, the Ravid came along and he critiqued the Rambam. The opposite is true. The Ravid was a good decade or so older than the Rambam, and when the Rambam wrote his Mishneh Torah, it was sent to the great of the time, the Gadol Hador. The Rambam lived in Spain, and he moved across North Africa, Egypt, Israel, back to Egypt. But this work of the Rambam, the Mishneh Torah, was sent to Rav Avram ben David, the Ravid. He's the third Ravid in Jewish history, Ravid 3. There are other Ravids before him, Rav Avram of Bezdin. In any case, this Ravid was about 10, 15 years older than the Rambam. And when the Rambam wrote his Mishneh Torah without any sources, and the Rambam says, just trust me, I did a tremendous amount of research. The halacha is like everything in this sefer. So people started getting suspicious if he's talking like that, and he's young, and who is he? Who's a genius, obviously. Remember, this was in the days before there was a printing press. This was in the days where, for the Rambam to write what he wrote, he did most of it by heart, taking all of the Gemara, Bavli, Yerushalmi, all of Tanakh, all of Mishnah, and Midrashe Tanaim. He had it all on his fingertips, and he wrote Mishneh Torah. It was unbelievable. But this was sent to the Ravid, the Gadol Hador of Avram ben David, who lived in Provence. Provence is southern France. And the Ravid critiqued the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. Now, the fact of the matter is that the Ravid doesn't say anything on most of Mishneh Torah. On every page, there are many, many halachos. And the Ravid will critique a halacha or two, and some pages, many pages, he doesn't say anything at all. But here, the Ravid takes exception with the Rambam. And he says, Omer Avraham, divrei ha'ish hazeh be'enai krovim l'misha omer ein chiyas amesim l'gufos, elo l'neshamos bilvad. He says, what the Rambam says, that Olam Haba is only neshamos and not guf, sounds suspiciously like somebody who believes that Chiyas HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, is only for souls and not for bodies. And then the Ravid lets him have it and says, "Oh, I can swear to you that this is not the opinion of Chazal and not the opinion of the Gemara." Now, let's take a step back. When we say Chazal, Chazal is an acronym for Chachameinu Zichronam Livracha, our Chachamim. Who does that refer to? When we refer to Chazal, who do we refer to? This is just for anything you learn. You have to know this. It's the beginning of the year, so I'll tell it to you, but it certainly applies to our discussion. Chazal refer to the great masters of the Mesorah, the chain of halachic and agadic and Kabbalistic tradition from the time the Torah was given to Moshe at Sinai all the way down to the end of the Gemara, the end of Talmud Bavli, which was in roughly the year, if we're in 2012 now, it was roughly the year 500. And the Talmud Bavli was edited by Ravina and Rav Ashi. And the Gemara says, Ravina and Rav Ashi Sof Hora'ah. We know that the Talmud Bavli was completed in the generations following Ravina and Rav Ashi by a group of Talmidei Chachamim called Savoraim, and they were followed by the Gaonim and the Rishonim. But when we talk about Chazal, it's only from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way up until the end of Talmud Bavli, although it was edited a little bit afterwards, but the primary editors were Ravina and Rav Ashi, who lived in Bavel, which is now Iraq. Now, most of the time when we say Chazal, we don't refer to the period of Tanakh. We only refer to those scholars, the masters of the Mesorah, who came after the time of the Tanakh, which means from somewhere around the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash, all the way straight through the period of the Tanaim and Amoraim. But sometimes when we say Chazal, it even refers to some of the greats who were during the time of Tanakh. For example, when we say that Chazal made a decree, or the Rabbanan made a decree, that you have to do Netilas Yadayim, who are we talking about? We're talking about all the way back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech.
Right? That's certainly in the period of Tanakh. We call it a Derabbanan. Okay, in any case, Chazal goes, the key point is that Chazal referred to the Chachamim only until the end of the Gemara. Now, this is a very important point. Why? And here I'm going to say it in hopefully 1 minute or less. This is very crucial for understanding Judaism. As most of Torah Judaism views it today, not all rabbis are created equal. There is a qualitative difference between Chazal, who go until Ravina and Ravashi, and anybody who comes afterwards. Now, what does that mean? That means the Rambam says it himself. Anything that was accepted as halacha until the end of Talmud Bavli is binding upon all of the Jewish people. Anything that came after Talmud Bavli is not binding upon all of the Jewish people, but only some of them. One of the most famous halachos is you're not allowed to marry two wives. That is binding only from about 1,000 years ago, only upon Ashkenazic Jews. It was instituted by Rabbeinu Gershom Maor HaGola, the light of the exile, who lived in Germany, who was Rashi's Rebbe's Rebbe. But Sephardic Jews, up until just a few years ago, married two wives. There are some people maybe still married to two wives. Sephardic Jews now do not marry two wives because with the founding of the State of Israel, Rav Avadi Yosef came out and said, that's it. No more. Can't do it. Okay, but Ashkenazim, this is 1,000 years ago, it stopped. But again, it's not binding upon everything. Kitniot on Pesach. Ashkenazim do not eat it. Do not eat them. Sephardim do eat kitniot on Pesach. Again, it came after the time of the Gemara. It's not binding halacha. It's just a custom, maybe a very strong custom. But that is from after the time of the Gemara. Any halacha nowadays, is based on the principles from the time of the Gemara. For example, not turning on a light on Shabbos. Why is it prohibited? It's prohibited because when electricity and turning on a light on Shabbos, well, turning on lights, were invented, the Chachamim, the Torah greats of that generation, determined that according to the principles laid out in Talmud Bavli, this is prohibited on Shabbos. Okay, in any case, all I'm saying is that Chazal, until the end of the Gemara, are on a totally different level than anybody after the time of the Gemara in terms of the weight of their halachic opinion, the weight of their opinion in almost any matter related to Torah, halacha, agada, kabbalah. That having been said, just realize that nobody can argue on somebody from the time of the Gemara, from the time of the Mishnah. There are rare, rare exceptions, but as a whole, that is what we believe. So now, when the Ravid says, this is the Rambam, he says that Kriyas HaMesim sounds like it's only for the soul and not the body, that goes against Chazal, and he starts quoting Gemaros and other places in Chazal where it's pretty clear that there are bodies at Kriyat HaMesim. When there's resurrection, the person comes back, soul and body together. Now, the Rambam does not have a right to argue on Chazal. So if the Ravid says, you see from this Gemara and that Gemara, that it's soul and body, the Rambam cannot argue on that, and the Rambam is stuck. And the Ravid quotes the Gemara. Most of the Gemara is about Kriyas HaMesim. Anybody know what Masechta they're in? Sanhedrin. The end of Sanhedrin. It talks about the Arba Mitot Beit Din, the four types of death, capital punishment that Beis Din can administer. It talks about what happens after you die. And it says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek L'Olam Haba, all Jews have a share in Olam Haba. You recognize this as an introduction to Pirkei Avos. And then it goes into who doesn't have a share in Olam Haba. That part we don't use to introduce Pirkei Avos. But there the Gemara says that not only does a person come back, body and soul, but he comes back with his clothes on. The Gemara says, does the person come without his clothes on or with his clothes on? The Gemara says, with his clothes on. The Ravid says, what is the Rambam talking about? Clearly, from Chazal, from the Gemara, Tchiyas HaMesim is the reuniting of body and soul. Now, the Rambam goes, so that's a question that the Ravid has on the Rambam. Now, This, the Rambam goes a little bit further in that same perek, in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Ches. And in Halacha Ches, he says as follows. Listen to this. He says, the fact that the Chachamim called it Olam Haba, the world to come, does not mean that it is not around nowadays. And that Olam Hazeh, this world is here now, and then Olam Hazeh is going to go away, and then we're going to have Olam Haba. No, it's not so, says the Rambam. Rather, Olam Haba is here as we speak. As I speak to you, Olam Haba exists simultaneous to this world, and it's only called the world to come because we don't go there until after we do our time here in this world. Here in this world, we exist body and soul. Olam Haba exists also now, but only for souls. After a person dies, he goes to Olam Haba. So Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba exist at the same time. We are now existing with our bodies and souls in Olam Hazeh. At the same time as we're sitting here, there is Olam Haba, and that is a world of only souls. Okay? So the Ravid also gets excited about this Rambam, and he says, it seems that the Rambam is contradicting the Gemara that says that this world is going to return to absolute nothingness, tohu vavohu, primordial chaos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to recreate the world. The Gemara says that this world is for 6,000 years, and then for one, it will be destroyed. Maybe that means 1,000. And then there'll be a new world. So the Rambam says that Olam Haba is around nowadays. What does he do with the Gemara that this world exists for 6,000 years, and then it's destroyed, and then there's a new world? Isn't that new world Olam Haba? So the Kesef Mishnah says that it's really a question of semantics. The Rambam and the Ravid really agree, but just what the Rambam calls Olam Haba, the Ravid calls Gan Eden or something else, maybe Olam HaNeshamos. But the Rambam is not referring to the world after this world is destroyed. Now, to get to the bottom of it, the Rambam was attacked for his position. How can you say that Priyas HaMason is without a body? Yeah. The Rambam wrote a special letter, which we call nowadays Ma'amar Priyas HaMason. It was addressed to the Jews of Yemen, like a few of the Rambam's letters. The Jews of Yemen respected the Rambam tremendously, and there were people who stirred up controversy. But the Rambam there says, I never said it. I never said that Priyas HaMason is only for souls, not for bodies. If you read my words, says the Rambam, all I said was that Olam Haba is only for souls, not for body. But Triyas HaMesim is absolutely for body and soul. What does that mean? According to the Rambam, this is what happens after you die. According to the Rambam, after we die, there is a place called Olam Haba. It exists nowadays. Anybody who lived in this world and died has gone to Olam Haba already. Olam Haba exists now. After a person dies, he goes to Olam Haba, soul without body. The body is buried, and the soul goes to Olam Haba, wherever it is. It's not a physical place. You can't point to it. It doesn't exist within space. It is a spiritual place. That's what soul without body means. It doesn't occupy space. But Olam Haba is only for souls without body. And at that point, the soul receives its reward. Based upon what it did here in this world, the soul receives a reward. Let's say the soul did Averos, then there is what is called Kares, the Rambam says, and he's cut off from Olam Haba and doesn't get that pleasure, doesn't get that spiritual pleasure. Now, what happens is, whether Mashiach comes first or not, the Rambam is not clear about, but eventually, all the souls in Olam Haba are reunited with bodies. Soul and body are reunited eventually. At which point, that is Triyat HaMesim. That's not Olam Haba. Olam Haba and Triyat HaMesim are not the same thing. At which point, the soul and body reunited live together again and are able to reach a higher level of perfection. after which the soul leaves the body, we call that death generally, and goes back to the Olam HaNeshamos, back to Olam Haba, where it remains eternally without stop. Okay, so just to review what we said, according to the Rambam, there's Olam Hazeh, body and soul. After death, soul goes to Olam Haba, where it's only souls, it's spiritual reward, great pleasure, spiritual pleasure. Eventually, soul and body are reunited. And then, after a nice long life with everything good, soul and body separate again, and the soul goes back to Olam Haba forever and ever and ever, and the body is done. Okay? That is the way it works according to the Rambam. That is what he explains in his Ma'amar Tchiyas HaMeisim. Okay. However, the Ramban, the Ravid, Rav Sadia Gaon all disagree with the Rambam, and the Mekubalim side with them. They say as follows. After life in this world, in Olam Hazeh, where does one's body is buried, where does one's neshama go? To the Olam HaNeshamos, to the world of souls. This is not Olam Haba, it's the world of souls. Okay, what happens there? Spiritual delight, great. What happens eventually is, well, some are explicit that Mashiach comes, and after that, there is Tchiyas HaMeisim, body and soul are reunited, says the Ramban and everybody on his team. Body and soul never leave each other after that. They are united forever and ever and ever, and that is Olam Haba. So according to the Rambam, after one dies, one's soul goes to Olam Haba, eventually it comes down to this world with Tchiyas HaMeisim, and then goes back to Olam Haba, but Olam Haba is only for souls, not for bodies. That's the Rambam. The Ramban, and Rav Sadia Gaon, says no. After this world, it's not Olam Haba, it's Olam HaNeshamos, the world of souls, that they both agree. It's a world of souls. Rambam calls it Olam Haba. Ramban calls it Olam HaNeshamos, maybe that's semantics. But then body and soul are eventually reunited, according to the Ramban. And body and soul remain that way forever, eternally, according to the Ramban. Eternal bliss, goodness, no death, nothing bad, all good, forever and ever and ever, body and soul together. Okay? That is, so again, the basic machlokas is, are body and soul reunited forever? That's what the Ramban and everybody who holds like him says. Or are body and soul reunited temporarily only to be separated again with the soul going to Olam HaNeshamos? That is what the Rambam says. Is everybody clear on what we said until now? Now, we can find proof in davening for both opinions. What do I mean? Let's think. It says in Shabbos davening, before Kel Adon, in the first bracha of Kriyashma, Ein ki erkecha ve'ein zulasecha efes bilticha umido melach. There is none who comes close to you, God. There's none but you. Zero aside from you. And nobody is even comparable to you. And now the poem explains. Ein ki erkecha Hashem Elokeinu. There is nobody similar to you, Hashem, ba'olam hazeh, in this world. Ve'ein zulasecha malkeinu l'chayei ha'olam haba. There's none aside from you in Olam Haba. Efes biltecha goalenu. There is none, zero, but you, God. Limos ha-Mashiach, during times of Mashiach. Ve'ein dome l'chmoshenu, or l'chmoshenu l'schiyas ha-Mesim. And no, none is comparable to you in Tchiyas ha-Mesim. Does this support the Rambam or the Ramban? What do you say? Well, let's think. First it lists Olam Hazeh. Then it lists Olam Haba, then it lists Yemos HaMashiach, and then it lists Tchiyas HaMeisim. This is like the Rambam. There is Olam Haba after death, before Mashiach, before Tchiyas HaMeisim. According to the Ramban, when does Olam Haba happen? Only after after body and soul are reunited, after Tfiyas HaMesim, according to the Ramban, Olam Haba is body and soul. According to the Rambam, Olam Haba is only body, and that's right after you die. Eventually also, but according to the Rambam, it's right after you die, even before Tfiyas HaMesim. So that davening, that passage from Tfilah, is like the Rambam. However, there is a passage that accords with the Ramban. Where is that? At the end of Uva Letzion. What do we say at the end of Uva Letzion? Shenichya v'nira v'nirash tova v'racha l'shnei yemos ha-mashiach u'l'chaye olam haba. First what happens? Yemos ha-mashiach. Then what happens? Olam haba. After you die, before Mashiach comes, that's not olam haba. That's olam ha-neshamos. That part of davening is like the Ramban. Whoever made up the Harachamans after benching, it was after the time of the Gemara, but before the time of the Rambam, also supports the Ramban. It says, Harachaman hu yizakenu limos hamashiach ulechayei olam haba, right? First yimos hamashiach, and then olam haba. Olam haba is not something right after you die, but it is after your Mashiach comes. Now, what is the point of contention between the Rambam and the Ramban? What are they arguing about? Kesef Mishnah says semantics, but it's more than semantics. Is eternal life with body and soul, or is it just a soul? Meaning, when you die, do you kiss your body goodbye forever? No. According to everybody, no. You get your body back. But do you get it back forever? Or no, you only get it back temporarily. The Rambam says temporarily. The Ramban says forever. The machlokes seems to be, what is the nature of our bodies? And this is important to us nowadays. How are we supposed to view our bodies? Our real self, our real essence, is our soul. Right? That should be clear to everybody. If God forbid somebody... We had a great speaker last week. His leg was amputated, right? His leg is not him, right? A person's body is not themselves. A person's self is more closely identified with his soul, right? So now, how do we view a person's body? How should we view our bodies now? According to the Rambam, body is only functional so a soul can interface with this world. We have bodies only so that we can interface with this world. This world is a physical world. There's tremendous spirituality in it also. It's beneath the surface. The only way we can live and access spirituality in this world is through physicality. Most of us are familiar with the Chazal that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, and Hashem was going to give him the Torah. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Malachim threatened to destroy him. What are you taking this precious treasure, spiritual treasure, down to the earth? And Moshe Rabbeinu, well, the Gemara is very, 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 very illustrative. It says Moshe Rabbeinu grabs onto the Kisei HaKavod for protection, like he's on base. And Hashem says, respond. So Moshe Rabbeinu looks at the Malachim and he says, it says, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Mitzrayim from the house of slavery. Were you guys slaves in the land of Mitzrayim? No. It says, honor your mother and father. Do you have a mother and father? No. It says, don't be jealous. Don't be bitter. You have jealousy? No. The Torah was given to be used in this world. We attain spirituality in this world through physicality, through doing physical acts. By taking those black boxes and wrapping them around our arms, we attain a measure of spirituality. Of course, if we focus our minds on it and we know what we're doing and we concentrate and we connect not only mind but our emotions as well, it's a totally different level of spirituality than just the physical action. But guess what? If you just focus your mind and your heart and you don't put those black boxes on, not spirituality. Maybe it makes you feel good. But Hashem says you do that. That is spirituality. Accepting Shabbos, getting ready for Shabbos. It's unbelievable. You eat a delicious, steak on Friday, that's physicality. You eat it on Shabbos, that's spirituality. Spirituality comes through the physicality according to what Hashem dictates in the Torah. It's a deep concept, and we'll discuss this as the year goes on. But the way spirituality is accessed in this world is through physicality. That's the way Hashem created the world. That's why this is called the Olam Ha'asiya. The same way that there are five levels of the soul, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai Yechida, there are five levels of existence, five realms of reality. The Olam Ha'asiya, which we are now in, living in physically, the Olam Ha'Yitzirah, the Olam Ha'Briya, the Olam Ha'Atzilus, and the highest is Adam Kadmon. That's a different story. Okay, in any case, the Rambam's opinion is the body is purely functional for this world. To access spirituality in this world, you need a body. But to gain the reward, no, that's totally spiritual. The reward is not physical, reward is totally spiritual. And that comes without the body. You don't need the body to access the reward, and that's forever and ever and ever. That is the opinion of the Rambam. The question on the Rambam is, what's the point of Tchias HaMeisa? So why do body and soul come together at all? So there are two answers to this question. Answer number one is, how did the body do mitzvot or averos in this world? How did a person do mitzvot and averos in this world? Only with body and soul combined, right? The Gemara has a story of the king appoints watchmen over his orchard. One of them is blind, one of them is lame, and they can't reach the fruits on the trees. They're the watchmen. They're sitting there, they're getting hungry, they see the beautiful trees, and the lame person says to the blind, oh, these fruits look so good, we gotta get them. The blind person says, we can't. I can't see them, and you tell me you can't reach them and you can't walk. The lame person says, yeah, but I have an idea. I'll get on your shoulder, I'll pick the fruits, and we'll share them. Great. They go picking the fruit. They have a great time eating. And the king comes back, and his fruits are eaten. And he says to them, what happened to my fruits? They said, that wasn't us. I can't see it. I can't reach it. The king was no dummy, and he said, great, you get on your shoulders, and now I'll punish you for doing what you did. In other words, what the Gemara means to say, soul and body need to be reunited because it wouldn't be totally just for God to reward or punish just the soul without the body. Soul and body need to be reunited for God's judgment to be totally just. If we did mitzvos, access the spiritual through the physical needs to gain in the reward. If a person destroyed himself spiritually through the physical needs to share in the punishment. So that's one reason why the Rambam would say that body and soul are joined together. The second reason given is because for a soul to perfect itself, it needs guidance. It needs guidance. What do I mean? What I mean is the fact that we grow spiritually is only because of the people around us and because of the people who influence us. We can work tremendously. The Gemara talks about cases where a voice came out of heaven and said there is somebody sitting in this room who was worthy to give the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, but what could he do? His generation wasn't worthy. Salvation says it doesn't mean he's worthy, but the generation is not worthy, so he doesn't get it. No, it means that he did all the work he could do, spiritual work he could do, to receive it. But if his generation had been better, they would have picked him up higher. But since his generation didn't simulate him to reach his spiritual life, he did all he could, but he didn't reach the level that he could have reached. So again, why are body and soul rejoined at Tchias HaMeisim? You guys are sitting here. Hopefully you'll gain a tremendous amount this year. As great as Rav Eli's Musar is and Rav Dani's Vad is, can you imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron HaKohen or the Arizal or the Vilna Gaon or Rabbi Akiva or Shimbar Yochai were teaching you directly? It's a totally different level. What the Rambam says, the person who does the work and earns his way into Tchias HaMeisim, he comes back Tchias HaMeisim, body and soul are reunited, So whatever reward he had in Olam Haba before Tchias HaMesim, it'll be much greater after Tchias HaMesim, because he'll have role models who also come back to life who can lift him up to a much higher level. So Tchias HaMesim, number one, according to the Rambam, is because it's full justice, body and soul together, reward and punish. And for the second reason, because not only you're coming back, but all the greats of all the generations are coming back, and everybody through that concentration of unbelievable spiritual giants and spiritual power will be lifted to a whole new level, so that afterwards, Olam Haba will be a totally different realm. Okay, that is according to the Rambam. According to the Ramban, and we'll end with this today. According to the Ramban, body and soul are reunited forever for eternal reward. What's the point of having the body forever? What's so great about the body? The Ramban, as opposed to the Rambam, holds. The Rambam holds the body is only functional so we can access spirituality and use this world as the way it's supposed to be used. The key to spirituality in this world is physicality. The Ramban says no. The body is not just physical. The body is deeply, deeply spiritual, and all the Mekubalim say this. However, after Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, the body, in terms of its spiritual power, is dulled, is darkened, is muted. It's a shallow, a pale reflection of what the body was before Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. If the soul is spiritual now, the soul before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas was on a ridiculously high level. Adam HaRishon's body before eating from the Eitz Hadas was on a spiritual level, maybe of our souls, maybe even higher than our souls nowadays. The Ramban says the spirituality of the soul in this world, Olam Hazeh, for us now, after Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, it's a pale reflection of itself. It's not. After Tchias HaMesim, when the soul goes to the Olam HaNeshamos, where it's refined and purified, and the body gets buried in the ground to rejuvenate, and it doesn't just rejuvenate physically. It comes back much better and much stronger, much more spiritual than it was now. And the Gemara says, what's the best proof for Tchias HaMesim goes on every single day? We just are used to it, so we don't think it's anything special. We take a wheat kernel, a seed, we plant it in the ground, it rots, and it decomposes, and suddenly, after a few days, few weeks, it starts to sprout, and it comes up bigger and stronger with many more wheat kernels than it came with before, and it's all clothed in chaff and in straw, everything. It's unbelievable. That's Tchias HaMesim. We're just used to it, so we don't see it as a miracle. But the same way that that happens in the physical level, when our bodies come back after decomposing in the dirt, in the earth, it returns to the place it came from to be rejuvenated. It gets rejuvenated and comes back on the level of Adam HaRishon's body before he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Our bodies will be spiritual. That's why we won't need all the physical entertainment and enjoyment. We'll hit spiritual pleasure, which is much, much greater. And the body will be spiritual at the time and will enjoy that spirituality. So just to summarize and recap, the Rambam and the Ramban argue, is our soul and body reunited? TSM, everybody agrees that after this world, your soul goes on, it knows what happens, it's judged, you get into that another time, your body gets buried. Eventually, body and soul, everybody agrees, are joined together, maybe for different purposes according to the Rambam and Ramban. According to the Rambam, the body falls aside and the soul goes on forever. According to the Ramban, body and soul are reunited forever. According to the Rambam, one's body is merely functional in order to interface with this physical world and access the spirituality latent in this world, and therefore better the soul through that. The Ramban, however, says, no, a person's body is not merely physical and here to interface with the world. It's not merely functional. A person's body contains tremendous spirituality, but it can't be accessed now and here in this world, only when the soul uplifts the body throughout life. And then the body is buried. Then it comes rejuvenated and comes back as a spiritual entity on a much higher spiritual level, not just physical, but a spiritual level. And then we'll see the full beauty and the full power of the body in a spiritual sense. That's after Kriyas HaMeisim. There's no reason for the body to drop the soul, because the soul doesn't hold the body back from attaining spirituality, full spirituality, like it does in this world. But it helps and goes along with the soul and attains greater spirituality after Kriyas HaMeisim, after resurrection. Okay, so we discussed the foundation of the building of Kriyas HaMeisim and the broader picture of what happens after a person dies. What did we not talk about? We did not talk about why Kriyas HaMeisim is so important. Okay, great. So it's part of... Isn't it part of the... This is what the Sefer HaIkrim, Rav Yosef Albo in the 1400s, asked on the Rambam, who lived in the 1100s. Why are there two separate principles? There's reward and punishment, and there's Kriyas HaMeisim. Isn't Kriyas HaMeisim only just another way of reward and punishment, another expression of reward and punishment? Why are these two separate principles? We'll have to discuss that. What is so unique about Kriyas HaMeisim? Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly who lived at the beginning of the Second Beis HaMikdash, who canonized Tanakh and composed Tfilos, why did they feel Kriyas HaMeisim was so important that not only should it be in every single Shmona Esrei, but it should be five times in every single Shmona Esrei? What is so important, what is so powerful about Kriyas HaMeisim above and beyond the principle of reward and punishment? So these are questions we're going to have to deal with. And then we're going to have to the nitty-gritty. What happens? What, is Kriyas HaMeisim before Mashiach? Or is it after Mashiach? Who does Kriyas HaMeisim? Is it Eliyahu HaNavi? Is it Moshe? Is it Mashiach? What's the story? This world is going to be destroyed. It's not going to be destroyed. Are we going to have relatives? Are we not going to have relatives? Which wife do you get back? First, second, right? Well, what happens then? And we have to go into the... I know everybody's curious also about... People mentioned the curious, what's this whole thing about if you're buried outside of Eretz Yisrael, you roll? It's not true. You do not roll. That's a misconception. We'll talk about that, being buried in Eretz Yisrael versus being buried in Chutz Laretz. And we also have to talk about, as Ravelli mentioned, Gilgul Neshama. What is that idea? Is it really reincarnation? Do we really believe in that? What is that about? Billy Netter, we will get to all of these questions. Not next Sunday. Next Sunday, this coming Sunday, is Erev Rosh Hashanah. There is no Shir. But the Sunday after that, during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, will do it. And then two Sundays after Sukkot Be'ezras Hashem. Thank you very much for listening.